take our Bibles, turn over to Timothy, 2 Timothy, the first chapter of 2 Timothy. verse number 7. I'm just going to read that one verse of Scripture. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." What I'd like to do is give out some scriptures for you to read for me. I've got quite a few different scriptures, and I'll just name a scripture. Somebody will hold up their hand and have it ready when I get prepared for it, and you'd like to read. Ephesians 6:16. Brother Chuck, I'll get you, and we'll go thank you for so many responses there. And Proverbs 24:19. Sister Glenda said she'll do that. All right. And then John 16:33. Brother Jack's got that. Romans 14:23. Brother Bruce said he'd had that. And then James 1:8. Sister Penny got that. Ephesians 4:32. Brother Tommy's got that. Let's see, 1 Peter 5:7. Sister Lori got that. And let's see here, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Sister Esther said she'd do that. And 2 Corinthians 10, 10th chapter, 2 Corinthians verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 and 5. Sister Terry's got that. Let's see here. Let's get one more here. Psalm 62:5. Brother Tim, do that. Okay, we'll stop there. If we need some more, we'll get them. But we're going to, once again, we're just going to talk about the Christian life. Kind of doing a series here on the Christian life. We'll be hitting different areas of the Christian life. And today I want to talk about worry. Now, we probably all, to some degree, do a little bit of that. We try to put our trusts in the Lord where it should be, but probably there are certain things come up in our life where we do probably experience worry. What I guess I want to start off by saying is this. If we'll look at it from the Scripture standpoint, this is not what God wants us to do. We can be concerned about things. Yes, God wants us to be concerned about things, but He doesn't want His children to worry. Now, let me say something to you. I'm going to give you a couple things that, first of all, you're not going to overcome worry with. One of them is you don't need a $100 an hour shrink laying on their couch, you telling them of all of your childhood problems, and now that's your problem now. That's not going to take care of worry. Now, listen to me. I'm being kind. There isn't a person in this room, not one, that does not have some things you bring out of childhood or through life that could not possibly be a problem to you that you have to somewhere along the line have to deal with. All of us do. Some, let me say to you, more than others. Some has extra things, an extra load. But a shrink is not what you need. You need the Bible, the Word of God. You need God's help. He is the one that will help you through those difficult times. All of us, as I say, I'm not trying to minimize anything anybody has, any problem anybody has, because listen, there can be terrible difficulties in life that they have to face. And I understand that, and I'm not minimizing those. I'm just simply saying to you, everybody has them. Maybe to different degrees, but everybody has them. So the thing about it is, what we've got to understand is there's one hope, there's one answer. And that answer is Christ through the Word of God to help us and strengthen us through the Word of God to know how to handle these things. So I would just say to you, you're going to find your help in the Scriptures. Now, I know, I understand, it takes time. And I know that some of these are difficult to face, but you will find the answers to your difficulties in the Scripture. That's where you're going to find it. And you may need someone sometime to help you into the scriptures, to help you with these things. We're not, you know, as I said, minimizing them. We're not saying, you know, they're not there. We realize they're there. But that's why God wants trust in Him. Amen? I probably, you know, if I could get, you know, everybody testify, you've had some difficulties in some areas of your life that you've maybe even carried a long, long time. That you've carried and you've had difficult working with them. I understand those things. We're not trying to say that they're not there. We're saying the answer to them is the Scripture, God's Word. God is your help, okay? And we're all individuals. We're all different, with all different kinds of problems and trials, every single one of us. So we need this common denominator, and that common denominator is God. And we need His help. Amen? You'll find help in Him. He's there, you see, for us. So when we talk about worry, we know that, and we're talking about the kind of worry that, you know, you just fret over things and you worry about this and you worry about that. God, that's not of God. That's not from the Lord. Amen? That's not from Him. So it's coming from someplace else. And the first source we're going to use, where is the source of worry? One of the sources, of course, is always Satan. Now, he's one of them. He's one of the sources. In Ephesians 6:16, who has that? Please read it for me, Brother Chuck.
Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Thank you, Brother Chuck. You see, what God says is this. You've got to take a shield of faith to shield you from the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's old Satan. And he shoots them at everybody. Okay? You're not alone in this. That's why God says you need the shield of faith. And let me say this to you, because over years, I've certainly learned it in my own life, but I've learned it in other people's lives. The real battleground, today especially, the real battleground is the mind. And Satan works hard to work on your mind and my mind. Okay? You need the shield of faith to ward off all of those fiery darts of the wicked one. And I say to you again, you've got to realize that the primary battle place, it's everywhere, but the primary battle place is the mind. It usually begins there. Okay? And he's good at working, you see. He's the one that tells us, well, somebody don't like us. He's the one that puts dirty thoughts in our minds. If there's dirty thoughts, he's the one that helps put those there. And we allow him sometimes to build on them. He is going to do everything he can to disrupt you through your mind. Okay? And you get a hold of that because that's one of the sources. Another source is people. Look in Proverbs 24:19. Who has that, please? Sister Glenda?
Fret not thyself because of evil men, which are without men, and
the wicked. See, he says, fret not thyself because of evil men. And he says, neither be thou envious of the wicked. One of the things that I believe old Satan uses on us and allows us, we look at other people and we begin to look around, and sometimes there is people even prospering a lot more than we are. And this begins to bother us. Folks, learn to be content with what God has given you. Don't look out here at the evil people. I'm talking about evil outside of Christ. And say, look at how they're prospering. My, they've got this, they've got that. And I don't understand that. Why don't I have that? And that becomes, whether you understand it or not, becomes a worry to you, an anxiety to you. You begin to worry about these things. Don't worry about those things. Be grateful for what God has given you. Just be thankful for what He's given you. Do you know He has given some folk more than others? Can I understand that? Do I know why? I don't have all the answers for that. I don't know why. All I know is we need to be thankful and grateful for where we are and what God has done for us. I suppose there's not a person in here that cannot look back and say, you know, He's taken care of me. I don't see anybody in here that, especially your pastor, looks like he's missed a meal. I'm not missed a meal. God's taken care of me. Amen? You understand what I'm saying, though? We've got to look at what God has done for us and what God wants to do for us in the future, you see, and what he will do, and not and get our eyes off of people. Get your eyes off of what's going on in their lives and how they are prospering, you see. And we say that sometimes, that why me situation. You know, Chuck, I went home last night and I was talking to the Lord and thanking him for taking care of Aaron. But one of the prayers that I prayed, Don and I prayed together, and one of the things I said was this to the Lord. I want you to take what happened today, because it was within your will, or it would not have happened. But I want you to take it and teach Aaron whatever you need to teach him, and to teach the rest of us. Whatever it is you want to show us through this, teach us. Because he didn't do that for naught. Do I understand it? Of course I don't. But God was there. Okay? He is everywhere. And so I want Aaron to learn, Chuck, Lori, myself, all of us that's involved so close to Aaron's life. I want us all to learn what it is God wants to teach us. Whatever that is, help us build our faith. I mean, it already taught me to be thankful, grateful, again and over again and again and again, to thank the Lord. But there's things God wants to do in Aaron's life. I don't know how he'll use that, but Aaron will never forget that. And some way God will use that in his life to build him. I don't know how, but he will. Okay? And so those are things that we must not say, why me? We have a tendency sometimes to do that, but not why me. But God, teach me what it is you want me to know. Help me, you see. So we don't fret over what happens in other people's lives. We also find out that circumstances is another thing that is a source of worry. Something like I was just talking about there. But let's hear John 16:33. Who had that? Brother Jack.
These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Amen. You know, God said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Right before that, though, I love this. He said, I've spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. Your peace is in the Lord. But in the world, he didn't say you might. He said you shall. What we've got to understand as a people is understand that, you know what? That is our lot in life. Tribulation is our lot in life. Our God has given it to us. I think I understand a little bit of it, and maybe we'll get to that in a few minutes. But God said, you shall have tribulation in this world. It's not something that's maybe going to come to us. It is going to come to us. Okay? And in a few minutes, we'll maybe get a chance to talk about why it comes, what God is doing in it, you see. But we've just got to understand something. God has ordained that for our life. Ye shall have tribulation. Okay? I mean, you know, we want a worry-free, we want a trouble-free life. And for some reason, God has not ordained that. And I think, again, I know why. I think part of the reasons I know why. And we'll talk about it in a minute. Now let's look for a few moments at the results of worry. What happens when we worry? What is it? What is worry? Let's look at Romans 14:23.
And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Okay. God says anything that's not of faith is sin. Now folks, we're not trying to come down on you or any of us and say, oh, if you worry, you're a terrible sinner. But we need to understand that worry is sin. It is sin. We need to deal with it. Because to worry and fret is not what God has given us. We need to deal with this and realize what it is. Well, how do you deal with sin? What do we do with sin? Confess it as sin. And I don't know how many times I have, but I've had a lot of times I've had to look to the Lord and say, here I am. I am fretting over this. I'm worrying over this. And Lord, it's wrong. That's just absolutely sin. It's not what you want for my life. You don't want me. And I find myself, you know, facing situations and I get all fretting about it and doing this and that. And I have to stop and I have to say, God, you know, that's not the way you want me to handle this. And it isn't. It's wrong. You see, so we go to him and we say, God, forgive us. Help me not to be fretting over this and worrying over this, you know. Help me not to do that, because that's one of the things we need to realize, that these things are sin. Now, we was discussing, I think it was yesterday, Chuck, maybe when you was there. But anyway, we was discussing this, and this is something we have to be careful with. We've got to look at the level of the person who is saved, what level of growth they're at. It's very, very important for us to understand, because when you grow in the Lord, you've been saved for a lot of years, you look around and you see some young Christian doing some things that's downright dumb. Amen? And you look at it like, goodness gracious alive, when's he ever going to grow up? Come on, grow up. Well, if you remember back, flash back in your mind to when you first got saved. And remember that you was doing some things that was downright dumb. And the reason I'm saying this is simply this. Be careful with young Christians. And I know I'm getting off of the worry thing a little bit, but I wanted to stress this. Be careful with young Christians. Help them to grow. Don't just come down on them all the time. Help them to grow. Help them to learn. Because they need to learn how to live for Christ. And that doesn't happen overnight. Okay? Now, as we grow, as we more mature, the longer we grow, the longer we were Christians, certainly we ought to get more, be more of a solid Christian and have a lot of those things out of our life. But listen to me. There's things that you've grown to that you look at and you say, you know, this is wrong. I just won't, you know, I don't want to do this. I won't do this. That a person who's just been saved and just youth in Christ is going to look at it and probably doesn't see anything that badly wrong with it at first. Now, I'm not talking about terrible sins. I'm talking about things that is just in your life. You say, I'm just not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do that. I have a thing where I don't want to go into a place that serves liquor. Now, you say, Brother Ross, could you do that and still be a Christian? I certainly could. I sure could. But I just don't want to go in them. Now, there is people who go into these places that serve liquor. I'm not talking about into bars. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about into maybe restaurants that serve things. And they don't seem to have any conviction about that. I'm not going to argue with them. I'm not going to condemn them. I'm not going to come down on them. You understand? Because they're not going in there to drink. But I think growth in Christ puts you farther and farther away from the things of the world as you grow and grow. You just, you know, there's certain things you just, again, you don't want to do because to you, if you did it, it would be sin. Because you have an understanding of some things. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, we need to give people room to grow. Now, I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm not talking about somebody out here in terrible sin and say, well, I'm just trying to grow. Well, get away from that terrible sin. You got to learn. But there is a lot of little things in life that we grow to. Okay? Give them room to grow. Amen? Just give them room. Help them to grow. Okay? Help them. Be a blessing to them. And down the road, maybe they'll be able to turn their back on a lot of these things and out of conviction in their own heart that these things are wrong. Okay? All right. Sin is a result of worry. Look at James 1:8. Who has that? Sister Penny. Okay, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What God wants us to do, and that's what we talk about in worry here, we're really in when we're in worry, we're in indecision. We don't know what to do. We're double-minded. We're thinking this, we ought to do this, or maybe we ought to do that. We're not sure what to do. That is not the way, again, God wants us to live. If you're going to be in indecision, it's because you haven't come to grips with the will of God, what God wants. And what happens is you're thinking one thing, and you're thinking this thing, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. That's an unstable man, and he's unstable. What we need to do is have some real assurance, make a decision. Make decisions, not because I'm fretting over this or fretting over that, but make a decision. What does God want? You know, there's a lot of truth to the play the young people put on in his steps. There's a lot of truth to that. I read that book probably within a year or two after I got saved. It has become a principle of my life. Now listen to me. I don't, on everything that I come up, say, well, what would Jesus do? But anything that I have doubt about, I do ask that question to myself. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think as a Christian, that's what we ought to do. We ought to say, what would Jesus do in a case like this? Well, how would he handle this? What would he do? You know, and I think for my personal life, I want to know, what would God do? You say, do you always win it? No, I don't always win it. But I'm going to tell you what, I try. That is what I want as the goal of my life. Amen? Not saying I always do that. I mean, I'm not saying I always am imperfect in it. I'm just saying, though, that is the goal of my life. I want to do what Jesus wants me to do. And an unstable man, a man who is does not think right, indecisive, cannot do that. He needs Christ. He needs to know what Christ wants out of his life. So what happens is that when there's worry, you're fretting over this, you're fretting over that, you're wondering about this, and you're wondering about that. Come to some solid decisions, amen, and don't have a mind that is unstable, you see. Double-minded man, you know, don't do that. Have some solid decisions on what Christ wants you to do. Make your decisions according to that. All right, then, what are some ways, we don't have much time, but we'll get part of it. What are some ways to overcome worry? In Ephesians 4:32. Okay, that sounds like a verse of scripture. Say, Brother Ross, what does that have to do with worry? Let me tell you what all the Christian life has to do with. The Christian life has to do with getting right with God and getting right with man. You're not going to be able to make the right kind of decisions. You're not going to have the comfort of just knowing that you're God's child. Not only that, but knowing you're walking in the ways of God. You're not going to do that unless you're right with God and you're right with man. It's very, very important. Your preacher preaches a lot about this, but listen to me. If you have something between you and God, get it right. If you have something between you and man, get it right. Because there is nothing any person has ever done to you that is worse than what you have done to Jesus Christ by hanging him on the cross. And God forgave you. Is that true? So when we hold grudges and we have things contrary, you know, between us, and we hold those things, that's wrong. If you need to get those things right between you and man, between you and God. You see, that's very, very important, you see. All right, now, 1 Peter 5:7. Yes. Let me just say, turn loose of those worries and cast them on him. You know that's a hard thing to do, to put into practice. You know, I'm saying this because that's what the scripture says. That's what God says to do. You cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. What he's wanting you to do and you're wanting me to do is, we've got all these worries and we're fretting about this or that. He says, just cast it on me. That word casting there kind of speaks of like rolling over. In other words, roll all the weight over on me. That's what he's saying. Why are you worrying about it, he says. Why are you fretting about it? I'm God. I can take care of it. So just roll it over on me. Amen? And I understand It's a difficult thing for us to not pick it up again. See, we want to roll it over on him, and about an hour later or maybe a day later, we're back pulling it back over on us. But God says, no, cast it on me. Just give it to me. I know how to handle it. Okay? All right, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. All right, in everything give thanks. You know, one of the things that I think is important, and God says, in everything give thanks. And again, isn't that difficult sometimes? To give thanks for everything? But that's what God says to do. And it's important that we understand. And I think, too, giving thanks, it helps me by being able to look back and say, you know what, God? I worried about this before, and you took care of it. Have you ever been there? You know, I fretted and worried, and then down the road, you took care of it. Now, God, why do I not think that you're going to do it again? Okay? You see, worry is not of the Lord. We spend so much time and fretting over it and fretting over it, and our mind is just taken up with it, you know. God don't want that. No. He just wants you to give thanks for all that God has done. And I think that giving thanks is very important, because you can remember back and say, here's what God done to help me. He did this back there. Oh my, how he entered in and moved and done something and needed to be done, and he took care of us. And you can say, well, God, you did it back then. And God, you're going to do it again. You may not do it exactly the same way, but you're still God. Amen. So we give thanks unto the Lord. All right, 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 4 and 5.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
I mentioned earlier about our battleground, our main battleground being the mind. And God says in that verse of Scripture that we ought to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If he told us to do that, he has given us the ability to do that. You can control your thoughts. We don't always, but we can control our thoughts. If we couldn't, he would have never told us to bring them into captivity. And so what we've got to do is, because Satan works so much in the mind, we've got to learn to bring them into captivity. We've got to learn to control our thoughts. And whenever the wrong thoughts come out, we've got to stop immediately and remove them from our mind with the help of God and move on to better things. That's why he tells us in Philippians, the 4th chapter, to think upon these. Think upon the good things. That's why he tells us that. And the bad things, he doesn't want us thinking about, and we have the ability to bring them into captivity. He told us we did in that verse of Scripture. Now, is that difficult? Yes. I'm not saying it's easy. The old mind's something else. I mean, it is something else. But God says, bring them into captivity, all your thoughts into captivity. So when something wrong starts into your mind, what do you have to do? You have to stop immediately. You have to cast it away, and you have to begin thinking in a new direction. Amen? Okay? I didn't say it's easy. I said that's what God said to do. Okay? So that'll take care of a lot of the worry. Because what we worry about usually is those things that we can't do a thing about anyway. We just fret and fret and fret and fret and fret. Get your mind off of them. Turn them over to God. Amen? All right. Psalm 62, verse 5. Oh, this is one of the great things. To learn to wait on God. Boy, that's a tough one. But you know what? That's exactly what God is telling us to do. You see, if you notice in that verse, in my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Many times, our expectation is from people. We expect people to do what we think they ought to do, act the way they ought to act, be what they ought to be. And our expectation is in the wrong place. Our expectation must be in God. Amen? That'll help marriages. I told my wife and I some years back was sitting around talking. I told her, I said, honey, I want to tell you something. I can't be everything you need, and you can't be everything I need. It's an impossibility. But our God can. And I want to be everything I can be for you. And I know you'll do the same for me. But our expectation must be in God. Because we'll fail each other. Yeah, we will. But our God will never fail us. See, we get our expectations the wrong place. We expect perfection out of our wife. We expect perfection out of the husbands. We expect perfection out of people. They're not going to be perfect. But you get your expectation in God and He'll never fail you. God don't operate on our timetable. I mean, have you noticed that? And so what we do is we begin to worry. We begin to fret. We begin to worry. Why is this happening? Why isn't it happening now? God don't work on our timetable. Amen? And we need to learn to wait on Him. Be patient and wait on Him. Amen? Amen? You say, Brother Ross, it hurts. I don't know whether I can stand this any longer. Listen to me. God knows it hurts. And there's a reason why He wants it to hurt a little longer. Because He's doing something in your life that needs to be done. And you need, and I need, to wait upon God. Have you ever been to that place? You say, I'm going to end my rope. Well, I want to tell you something. With God, there's always a knot in the end of the rope to hold on to. He's never late. He's never late. He's trying to teach you and me something. This is where we fail. We think it's always because of somebody else. Well, why don't this person straighten up? Why don't they do right? Look at what God's teaching you. At the beginning of this, that's why I ask God not only to teach Aaron, but to teach me. Help it be a blessing to me. Help me be better for God through this. I mean, you know, we faced a very small thing there, really, at the end of it. I mean, everything's all right, and so it's a small situation. But there's things that God can teach us. We just need to wait on Him, be patient with our God. He's so good to us. Amen. So watch out for worry. He wants you to trust. Amen? He just wants you to trust.